The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. A one-hour show tonight. We've got hockey that starts at 8 o'clock. In the next hour, we're going to talk with Bill Barnwell of Grantland.com. He says the bargains are there to be had now in NFL free agency 1 week in. Also, we'll get your thoughts on where the Bills should turn now, looking ahead to the draft with some of their needs filled in free agency.
This place is pandemonium.
Finds a crease up the middle, dodges a man at the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Only a one-hour show tonight. Hockey out west. What are they? Calgary tonight, the Sabres. So we've only got 1 hour to go, and we've got a lot to do. So thanks for tuning in, and let's see if you can chip in a little bit. Got a lot to talk about tonight. 1 week into free agency, our friend Bill Barnwell from Grantland.com. Well, I finally got a chance to meet face-to-face at the Combine last month. Good guy. Very, very, very astute writer when it comes to looking at trends in the NFL. And he says there are bargains out there in free agency now. Michael Vick. Maurice Jones-Drew, Santonio Holmes, scoop them up, he says. Now's the time. You get good players at a bargain basement prices. We'll talk with Bill Barnwell at 7:30. But it also leads us to the topic on the table tonight. The phone lines open, as they always are, for this first hour of the show. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out, follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. What we want to know from you tonight, as you look at what's gone on in free agency first for the Buffalo Bills in the first week. Now, what do you think of the draft? What do the Bills do in the draft now? What do they turn to in terms of personnel groups? I have some thoughts on that. I think it's pretty obvious. Offensive line, tackle in particular, and wide receiver. Either one of those two position groups, to me, is priority one going into the draft. And we are still several weeks away from the NFL draft. You know they moved the draft back a couple of weeks now, right? The draft first night is March 8th, so we're talking just under 2 months away. But in these next 2 months, I think the Bills will sort of crystallize on what they're looking and hoping to get in the draft. I think offensive tackle and wide receiver are the two places the Bills can get a quality player where they sit at number nine. They've said all along that everything is on the table, but I think based on the fact that they've got their inside linebacker now in Brandon Spikes, they've got depth in the secondary with Corey Graham, they've got another linebacker in Keith Rivers, they re-signed their tight end, they re-signed their kicker. I think offensive tackle and wide receiver are the two top priorities left for the Bills now heading into the draft in a couple of months. You may have another idea, and you're welcome to let us know about it in the next few minutes here. 803-0550 the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're getting some tweets on this as well. Brian Worthy says, tweets in, it's looking like we need an early down defensive end. Also a right tackle, wide receiver, and we could improve the depth at defensive tackle. I don't know. Early down defensive end, I think Manny Lawson is slated to be sort of a hybrid player over there. I think they will switch into, as they always do now, teams in the NFL, switch into a more pass-oriented defense on second and long and most third downs. And I think between Lawson and Jerry Hughes and maybe Keith Rivers, they might have the kind of personnel they need to play that down. I don't know if they need an early down defensive end. I agree. They probably want to look at a right tackle. That's where those three premium tackles come into play, I think. Jake Matthews, Texas A&M, Gerald Robinson, Auburn, or Taylor Lewan of Michigan. If one of those is there at number nine, they have to be awfully tempting for the Buffalo Bills at number nine in the draft. Improve the depth at defensive tackle. I think they did a pretty good job last year in that regard, too, with Darius and Kyle Williams and Alan Branch. I think they had some pretty good depth there and some young guys that they like, too, who got some playing time as the season moved along. The Canadian, our guest on a couple of weeks ago, Stephon Charles, I think, might have something to say about that. You know, it's going to be we don't really know what the defense is going to look like in particular, but we know that it'll probably have more elements of a 4-3 look than what they did a year ago. So it's hard to say, you know, how much depth they need at defensive tackle, but I don't think that's really a priority for the Bills. Warner Shue tweets in, wide receiver, offensive line. I agree. And this could be the draft to get the kind of player you're looking for, a premium player there at number nine. We talked about the offensive tackles who are available, and you would think one of those three should be available to the Bills at number 9. It may depend on how the quarterbacks fall and how many quarterbacks go in the first 8 picks. What was it last year, though? 3 of the top 4 picks were offensive tackles. Wide receivers, I mean, Mike Evans, Texas A&M, I think it'd be a guy they could get at number 9. You know, they'd have to take a look at Marquise Lee, who I don't necessarily think he fits the bill of what they're looking for. Calvin Benjamin, a highly rated wide receiver who probably doesn't merit the 9th overall pick. There are others, though. Obviously, Sammy Watkins is at the top of everybody's list at wide receiver. If he's there at number 9, I think the Bills will jump on him. But give us your thoughts. What do you think the Bills need in this draft now based on what's going on in week 1 of free agency? You can phone them in at 803-0550, or you can reach us at 1-888-550-2550. You can tweet it in at John Murphy Show. Eric Schneider tweets in, experienced safety depth. They are young back there with Duke Williams and Jonathan Meeks. It does not appear that they're going to get Jim Leonard back. I don't know if that'd be my top priority. It certainly wouldn't hurt to add some depth at safety. Give us your thoughts. Here's Tommy Collins tweeting in. We need defensive ends, lots of them. We only have 2 right now, Hughes and Mario. Lawson will be a hybrid, but mostly linebacker. We need a lot of depth. The top teams have a wealth of pass rushers. We only have 2 on the roster. Bryant and Branch will be defensive tackle. That's something to think about. BDM tweets in, still need safety, right guard, right tackle, athletic number 1 tight end, and a wide receiver over 6 feet 2 inches tall. Targets at number 9, Eric Ebron, the tight end, Jake Matthews, and Mike Evans. Donald Paxton tweets in, biggest need is a quarterback. EJ is okay, but okay doesn't win Super Bowls. Well, we'll see. You know, there's a lot of places to go. They're in a pretty good spot based on what they've done at in free agency, where they don't have to reach. They don't have to draft for need, at least not in the first round. Give us your thoughts, what you think they should do, how free agency changes the Bills' personnel picture, and how they approach the draft on May 8th. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's take a call here from Bill in Holland, New York. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I agree with you. I think If Sammy Watkins is there at 9, you have to grab him. But if not, there's Tyler or Lewin, Robinson, or Matthews. I'd grab him, even though, you know, it's a boring pick at 9. We need him. And then they've been saying, you know, it's a deep wide receiver class. So you can grab a wide receiver in the 2nd or 3rd or wherever. I love what they've done in free agency. We're putting spikes in the middle and freeing up Kiko to run around and do what he does. My only thought is that since we're switching this 4-3, and I think Schwartz is going to tone down the blitzes, I think those blitzes were kind of maybe hiding McKelvin. So I think maybe our secondary might get shown up a little bit. But really? We'll have to wait and see. Just wait to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I've always been a big Leotis McKelvin fan. There's no mistaking that. Even before last year, I thought he had a lot to offer and remains one of the great athletes on the roster. I don't know if they had to hide him last year. I think Leotis McKelvin is really an outstanding man cover guy. If they're playing more zone, I think he might have some adjustments to do this year and to get comfortable doing that and, you know, maybe work on his own technique. But as far as man-to-man, I think Leotis McKelvin is solid, more than solid. I think, obviously, he's coming off his best year in the league. I don't know if they have to hide him or protect him back there. So we disagree on that. Let's go to Vinny in Niagara Falls. Hey, Vinny, you're on the air. Welcome.
Here is truly all mine. How are you today?
I'm great.
I'm just thinking Sammy Watkins, only because the way that they're addressing everything, and he's a big playmaking guy. And, I mean, if I had to have my druthers right now, you know, I'd just cut it short and I'd say, you know, Sammy Watkins. That's
okay. All right. Thanks, Vinny. Most draft projections at this early stage, and we are almost 2 months out from the draft, most of them have Sammy Watkins going in the top 5. He's that kind of talent, and he has that kind of production at Clemson and that kind of reputation. He's done nothing in the run-up to the draft so far to damage that reputation or that high ranking. Most people think he's going to be gone in the top 5. If he's there at 9, I think the Bills are going to have to pick him, and I think they'd be happy to do that. They'd be dancing around as they picked him. Sammy Watkins is just that kind of talent. And the earlier caller mentioned waiting till the 2nd round to get a receiver. Yeah, that's doable. It is, I believe, a deep class of wide receivers in the draft this year. And you can anticipate in the 1st round that there are going to be some pretty good There are going to be some wide receivers chosen, but there may be some ones who are available in the second round. I mean, again, this far out, how many first-round wideouts are there? Obviously, we talked about Sammy Watkins is one of them. I think USC's Marquise Lee is going to be probably selected somewhere in the first round. I think Mike Evans of Texas A&M is a first-round caliber wide receiver. Yeah, this is without a run on wideouts. I don't think there'll be a run, especially as deep as that position is. Any other first-round wide receivers? I'm looking over the list right now. I don't think so. I don't think there would be any other first-round wide receivers. There are some other receivers who would be available in the second round who I think could help the Bills or any team who is looking for help at wide receiver. Allen Robinson of Penn State, I think, merits consideration in the second round. I'm trying to think who we saw at the Combine. I mean, we spent a lot of time with Jordan Matthews at the Senior Bowl a couple of weeks ago. I think he is a second to third round talent at wide receiver, very productive wide receiver at Vanderbilt for several years. So there will be some receivers. LSU's Jarvis Landry could be there in the second round, you would think. Odell Beckham of LSU could be there in the second round. Calvin Benjamin, Florida State, probably late first, early second rounder. So there will be talent there for the Bills if they want to wait until the second round to get their wide receiver. And if one of those three tackles is there in the first round, I have a feeling that's where they would want to go. We remain open for phone lines, for phone calls. Your thoughts on where the Bills turn now in terms of the draft with free agency 1 week old. Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Nick Badalana tweets in, I'm not sold on Rivers. I think we should add one end, add one and three or later. One outside linebacker. Jim Eimer tweets in, any of 10 positions. That's a lot. Tackle, guard depth, tight end, wide receiver, quarterback, defensive end, defensive tackle, unless Darius re-signs, middle linebacker, cornerback, safety. Some of those have been addressed already. Nick tweets in, I'd like to see them go after a stud wide receiver. I'd also like to see him grab a linebacker since Spikes is only a sign for a year offensive line in second round. And Jack Klink tweets in, wide receiver and defensive back along with quarterback and offensive line, but I think Schwartz will bring energy to the defense. They were pretty energetic defense last year. The picture changes, doesn't it, after free agency? We're going to talk about that at the bottom of the hour tonight with Bill Barnwell from Grantland.com. He says this is open bargain season in NFL free agency right now after 1 week in. You believe it's only been a week? Look at what's gone on over the last week or so. Speaking of the first week of free agency, the fans notice what's going on. The Bills players notice as well, including Eric Wood. He was a guest earlier this afternoon on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550 with Shope and the Bulldog. Eric Wood was asked his thoughts on the free agent signing so far, and he said he had the chance to talk to the Bills brain trust about the signings yesterday at Teddy Bridgewater's Pro Day in Louisville. Here's Eric Wood.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I thought they did a great job of getting guys that they wanted, and actually the Bills were down for Louisville's Pro Day yesterday, so I got a chance to meet with Doug Whaley and Manos and a couple guys with the organization, and they're super fired up about the signings we had, which got me even more excited. And I couldn't be happier with the moves we were able to make with, you know, construction going on in our facility and a blizzard. The week of free agency, I was very excited to see that we were able to get some guys in and get them signed.
Eric Wood talking earlier today on Shope and the Bulldog, his thoughts on the free agent signing and the effort to sign those free agents that went on here last week. Also, taking notice of the signing of Brandon Spikes, the middle linebacker. Eric Wood has had his battles with Brandon Spikes over the years, and certainly Brandon Spikes was no friend of the Buffalo offense during his tenure in New England. But Eric Wood says it's kind of fun to have a rival, a longtime rival, now on the Bills' side of the ball.
We had a pretty good rivalry over the last few years. He's one of the hardest-hitting middle linebackers in football, probably the hardest-hitting middle linebacker. So facing him twice a year hasn't always been fun, but, I've got the best of him sometimes. He's made some plays on me, and we've kind of had a fun rivalry, talked some trash, some friendly trash, nothing too bad. But, I was excited to get him signed with us. And before he announced it, or I guess before the media announced it, and I saw it on Twitter, he actually sent me a text message and said, hey, bro, we're going to quit hitting each other's heads, in games this year, just in practice. And I was very excited to see that.
Were you? Did you find it interesting the kind of contract he got?
Yeah, kind of. But you know, I'm not exactly sure how all that went down. But I think it. You know, most of the time, signing a 1-year deal, it's kind of a prove it deal, and hopefully, it all works out. And you know, midway through the year, we're all talking about getting him signed long term because he has an immediate effect on a run defense. So, you know, hopefully that's what happens, and I'm optimistic about it.
Is there any, I mean, you know, he's sending you messages and stuff. You guys have had, I mean, Fitz called him a punk at one point, Eric. Like, is there any, I mean, is it just the game? There's no hesitation whatsoever to have a guy that was maybe in your hair, you know, on your side now?
No, and I think we could probably all agree, and, you know, I've talked trash to him. Fitz called him a punk. I'm sure a lot of Buffalo fans have talked trash to him on Twitter. I think it's probably a mutual thing where I share that it's a guy that when he's on another team, you hate him, but you kind of sit there and say, man, I kind of wish we had a dude that really thumped guys like that and plays with such a, you know, a reckless regard at times. And I think I speak for a lot of guys on the team that say, hey, if he's going to come in and help us win and play with that same passion, I'm all for it.
Eric Wood, Bill Center on Show Up on the Bulldog. Questions fired at him by Show Up on the Bulldog earlier today. One more thought from Eric Wood, and this comes to regarding a player that he is directly impacted by, and that's left guard Chris Williams, a free agent who was signed from the St. Louis Rams roster last week. Eric Wood had some thoughts on what Chris Williams might mean to the Buffalo offensive line.
I think it's a good move if he can help our team, and I don't know a ton about him. I've got the chance to talk with him a little bit, and he seems like a great guy. Excited to get to work with him. He seems like a football guy, which will make it easy for him to fit into our room. And he's got a lot of size, and if he does hop into that left guard spot, him and Cordy Glenn will be a pretty imposing sight for right-sided defenses, seeing our left side. So, you know, hopefully he can come in and be a good player for us.
Eric Wood, Bill's center, captain on the offensive side of the ball. It's funny how players are fans, too, and why wouldn't they be? This directly impacts their livelihood, but they follow what's going on. They're all over Twitter. They're all over websites trying to figure out who's going where, who they're going to be playing with. And when you hear Eric Wood and his level of engagement with what's going on, the fact that he's already had contact with Brandon Spikes and knows about Chris Williams, what he might mean, kind of gets you excited about the fact that these players, just like fans, get excited about additions to the roster. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're talking about free agency and, in particular, what the Bills' additions on the roster in free agency over the last week mean to the upcoming draft. If you have thoughts on that, a few minutes left here in this segment, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here is Alan in Rochester. Good evening, Alan. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening. First-time caller. Love your show.
Thanks, Alan.
I wanted to touch base with you. I was actually at the stadium last year during the draft party, and it was, you know, some mixed emotions as it went on, but I'm so glad we did the trade down and got Kiko. I want to get your thoughts on two things. One, a potential trade down again to maybe get some more talent, and if they do, I respect your opinion. I haven't heard you say much about the tight end. The Tar Heel, what do you think of him as a possibility, especially if we trade down a little?
Yeah, good questions. Trading down, I think, is always on the table, especially if, I mean, what if Sammy Watkins is in there? What if those three tackles aren't there at number 9?
I totally agree with you. If he's there, I think, like you
right.
said, they'll be damped and say, yeah, he's ours.
Right, and what if he's not and those three tackles aren't? Then what? I think right. a trade down is a very good idea at that point for the Buffalo Bills. As far as Eric Ebron, you know, I did spend some time when we came home from the combine. I'd spent a little bit of time looking at video of Eric Ebron, and he's impressive. I just don't know that he's a game-breaking type of tight end. I think he's got good skills. He runs well, and he's clearly the best tight end in the mix this year in the draft. But is he a Jimmy Graham? Is he a healthy Rob Gronkowski? I don't see that. And I think there are other needs that they have and other things they can do with the offense that would be more valuable than Eric Ebron, especially at 9 overall. I think. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Alan.
You know, I was just going to say, and then get a little bit more bang for the buck,
yeah.
especially with a high pick.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if number 9 is where he belongs. He probably is a first-rounder, but is he a game-changing type of tight end? I don't know. I guess I think you got really good production out of Scott Chandler last year. I think the Bills got, I mean, they have a wild card kind of sitting there, and Tony Moiaki, if he's healthy, that could be a steal. A guy they picked up in the last month of the season last year, didn't see any action, but a guy that was very productive earlier on with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'd be surprised if that's where they're going with that ninth overall pick. Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Justin, how much snow did you get?
Just a little flurries. It's pretty much gone now.
Okay. That's the kind of snowstorm you like.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
That's the kind of snowstorm you like when it's gone in a day or two.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I used to actually live in Buffalo, so it definitely trumps Buffalo snow.
Yeah.
But so you just kind of touched on my question. I was going to ask, if the three tackles were off the board and Sammy Watkins was gone, what we would do. You just kind of touched on that, so I'm going to ask another question. You know, with the loss of Bird, everybody seems to be kind of overlooking Denoris Searcy. Do you think he's an underrated player, or is he just not that good? Is he just a package type of guy? Or, like, what is it about Searcy that front office doesn't seem to like? I mean, everybody's sort of pointing toward Duke Williams and Jonathan Meeks. Is there something I'm missing?
No, not at all. And I don't think it's accurate to say the front office doesn't like him. He's not Jarris Byrd. He doesn't run as well as Byrd, and he doesn't have, more importantly, the sort of ball-hawking instincts that Jarris Byrd has, and quite frankly, not too many in the NFL do. I think he's a good run support safety. I think he's a guy who can make some plays back there. I don't think he's the best athlete that you could get back there. So I think that's what you might be reading into it. They can play with Denoris Searcy. They have in the past. They've been successful with Denoris Searcy and Aaron Williams back there. I think they're going to, as good as Aaron Williams was a year ago at safety, I think he probably is going to be a little bit better this year, his second year at safety, and he won't, it doesn't appear, he's going to have to worry about getting the call to move up and play corner as he did about 2 or 3 weeks into last season. So I think they're going to be okay back there, and I think Searcy is the guy at the start of the season. I would think they would love a situation where somebody like Duke Williams jumps up and challenges for the starting job back there, or at least some playing time back there, and I think they go to camp probably hoping that that might happen. A call from Steve in Lockport. Hi, Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Great.
Love your show, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to throw the idea out there about taking a quarterback in the first round. And the reason why I say that is a couple key points. I think Buffalo's done a great job in the past 2 years. Through free agency, I think they've done an above-average job. They got a lot of good acquisitions last year. And the guys they got this year are now, have experience in the league and have seen different organizations. And the other reason is that, Marone's still a relatively new coach. And I think it sends a great message to everyone on the team that we're committed to getting that guy. And, the winning teams really need to have that spot locked up. Doesn't mean EJ can't be the guy of the future, but we just don't know at this point. I think, 2 years from now, nobody's going to say it was a waste of a draft pick if we, take a high first-round quarterback.
What does it say, though? What does it say about your faith, and not you, but what would it say about the team's faith in EJ Manuel if they use another first-rounder on a quarterback?
Well, where could the faith be with the kind of season he had last year? Not all of it was his fault. But I think they're kind of in project mode on the quarterback position anyway. The offense did seem kind of hesitant last year. I think maybe it sends a message that, you got another guy that's willing to step up and take a shot.
Yeah, maybe. And Steve, are there any of the quarterbacks, premium quarterbacks in this year's draft that you think would fit here? Might be, do you have somebody in mind? Because, there's no Andrew Luck in this group.
No, I don't. I'm not familiar with everybody that's in the top round and yep. Who's doing the best, but it just seems like, every year there's NFL quality talent that comes out in the first couple rounds.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I wish it were that easy. Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, first-rounder, Johnny Manziel, first-rounder in many people's minds, maybe Derek Carr. I don't know if any one of those four merits the kind of move you're talking about. Who was it? Was it Gil Brandt we talked to at the Combine? So this is going back a month or more now, 4 weeks anyway. And I think I asked him a question. I'm pretty sure I did. A lot of questions down there. Would E.J. Manuel be a first-rounder in this class? And he said absolutely. He absolutely would be. So it kind of indicates that E.J. stands alongside any of these quarterbacks, these first-round caliber quarterbacks this year, and would more than hold his own. Now you've got 10 starts invested in him and in a whole season of classroom work and immersion in the offense. I'm just not willing to throw that away and ignore some of the other needs you might have. And believe me, I'm not guaranteeing you that E.J. Manuel is the guy. There's no guarantee. They don't come with a guarantee when they come out of college. But I think that they're invested in him. They have said repeatedly over and over and over again since the season ended that EJ is their guy. They're all in with EJ Manuel. Every time we pose the question to Doug Whaley or Doug Marrone, whether it's at the Senior Bowl, at the Combine, or spots in between, are you all in with EJ Manuel? Absolutely. Yes, they are. They believe he's the guy. So I think that's unlikely to happen. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We've only got a one-hour show tonight. It's unfortunate. Some pretty good discussion going on. Sabres hockey coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going to take a break. We'll get back to more phone calls in just a few minutes. But when we return, we're going to be live with one of our favorite guests. He is a writer and reporter for the website Grantland, grantland.com. Bill Barnwell covers the NFL for Grantland. He says it is open season on bargains in NFL free agency now, 1 week in. He'll be live on the line with us when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
On the air tonight until 8 o'clock with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. And at 4 o'clock this afternoon, a couple of hours ago, we marked the one-week point of NFL free agency, the league year for 2014. And now's when the fun begins, according to our next guest. He is a writer, covers the NFL for the website Grantland.com. Bill Barnwell is our guest. Bill, it was good to finally meet you at the Combine a couple of weeks ago and put a face with all these telephone conversations we've had. You've been a good friend of the show. We thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure, John. It was good to see you as well.
You know, I think we had a similar conversation right around this time a year ago, a week into free agency. You've maintained for a while now that if you're patient in free agency, you can really get some good deals. In fact, in the posting you made on Grantland just yesterday, you said maybe the smartest NFL front office would be the one that took this past week off.
Certainly. I mean, it maybe going on vacation for a week is a little much, but certainly teams who tend to get a lot more out of free agency tend to shop after the first crop of free agents have gone, and usually that takes about a week for those guys to get off the market. But it doesn't even have to be a week. It can be as little as 72 hours. Last year, Seattle's a perfect example. They didn't go out on day one of free agency and sign anybody, but after a few days, they went out and said, listen, we're going to get Cliff Avril, we're going to get Michael Bennett, and we're not going to pay what we might have expected to pay for them on day one. And those guys ended up being key contributors on a Super Bowl team. So you can certainly see how waiting a little bit can have a really dramatic effect on improving your team.
Bill, you point out that the first 24 hours or so of free agency, the money gets ridiculous. This year, the cap went up to $133 million, which maybe even made it a little more ridiculous. Were there any eye-popping deals in that first day or so of free agency that got your attention?
Yeah, I mean, there were certainly plenty of them. I think the Roger Saffold deal that ended up getting ixnayed reportedly because of the physical that he took in Oakland was sort of the most egregious example. That was definitely the one where I thought, if you're signing a guy and you're giving him in excess of $20 million guaranteed to play guard, it's pretty ridiculous. The biggest one actually might have been, as far as the ones that stuck, before free agency, the deal that the Vikings gave Everson Griffin, who was the backup defensive end on the worst defense in football last year, getting in excess of $20 million guaranteed. I mean, it just tells you teams are so desperate for a pass rusher that they're willing to pay a premium, even if a guy doesn't have the starting experience. I think Everson Griffin started one game for the Vikings in his career.
Bill, most NFL teams have fairly smart people making football decisions. So what happens in those rooms, when free agency opens and the money starts getting thrown around? You know, what do you think goes on? Where's the pressure to spend come from?
Oh, well, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's not that people aren't smart. I think people get desperate to some extent. Certainly, whether it's that you genuinely want to see your team get better, which is a very fair, reasonable excuse. And certainly if you have, guests on the radio, you hear from fans who want to spend on the first day of free agency, and then people inside the organization tend to be no different. And I think it's a desperation to make your team better, but also desperation to keep your job. I think if you're a struggling GM and you say, okay, we can bring in three or four players and not give up anything and maybe improve this team dramatically, maybe I get another year of the job. Maybe I get a contract extension. Maybe we make it to the playoffs. So I think there's a lot of really natural motivations to go out and succeed, even if necessarily it doesn't always work out that well.
You know, we're only here in Buffalo a couple of years removed from the Bills making a big splash signing to Mario Williams. They paid an awful lot of money for Mario Williams, still one of the huge contracts in professional sports. They've got 23 and a half sacks over 2 years. So although you might argue with the money, there's really very little quibbling with the production from a guy like him, a big splash early free agent signing.
Right, certainly. And it's tough to get a guy like Mario Williams. You can't go out and, you know, shop around and pick a guy in the third round and expect him to be the sort of impact player that Mario Williams is. And it's a lot of money, certainly, but there have been much worse decisions made in free agency over the past couple of years than the deal for Mario Williams.
Bill Barnwell, our guest, he writes for Grantland.com, and his most recent posting up yesterday is about free agency. He calls it open bargain season. What happens a week or so, maybe, as you said, 72 hours into free agency for these bargains to begin to emerge, Bill?
Well, I think you see players, you know, who are outside, sitting out, you know, in the market. They see guys who are similar to them getting signed to long-term extensions. And I think it's like musical chairs. You know, you see that you have guys who say, okay, well, I don't want to be stuck on the outside with a one-year deal for the veteran's minimum. You know, maybe I should bring down my asking price a bit. Maybe a deal I wouldn't have taken 3 days ago, maybe I'd take that deal now. And certainly a guy like Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is a good example where he turned down I believe, a $54 million offer from the Broncos. And he's got, you know, he's about $15 million guaranteed in his money, his deal from the Giants now, but it's not in the same class of guaranteed money. And I think you see guys kind of have their price gradually drop as the free agent period goes along.
Bill, and you also make mention in your article about open bargain season how, you know, sometimes players have to settle for one-year deals, and it struck me that's exactly what the Bills did with Brandon Spikes. It looks like people are kind of scratching their head about that, but why not 1 year for a guy, you know, Brandon Spikes, who was a little bit banged up at the end of last year, a guy who had some off-field issues? I think a one-year deal makes sense for the Bills and Brandon Spikes in this case.
Right, and I think those deals tend to make a lot of sense for both parties a lot of the time, where you have a guy who you're not totally sure about. You don't want to commit 5 years and $30 million to him, but maybe you want to bring him into your organization, see what he's like, you know, see what his personality is like, see what his work ethic is like, see how he interacts with your players and your coaches. And maybe a year from now, if he has a good year, you feel a lot more confident about it, and you feel much better about giving him that sort of long-term deal. And for the player, it gives him an opportunity to kind of, you know, establish himself in the market, have a good year, and then go out and get the contract he was seeking next year as opposed to settling for maybe half the money he was hoping for.
And you know what I think, Bill? I wonder what you think about this. I think sometimes many people overlook you know, you do all this pre-free agency analysis, who's going to be there, who's a UFA contract going to be up, and then the league year starts, and all of a sudden there's a whole new group of sometimes quality players on the market. Steve Smith, for example.
Yeah, Steve Smith and DeMarcus Ware are perfect examples of that, guys who got cut. And, you know, we had some idea they might be on the market, but it wasn't totally clear. You certainly couldn't budget accordingly. It's not like someone like Mark Sanchez, for example, where you know the Jets aren't going to pay Mark Sanchez all that money. You know, the Panthers could have kept Steve Smith. The Cowboys could have finagled their cap and kept DeMarcus Ware. And so I think what smart organizations do, and this is part of waiting as well, is you save your money a bit. You wait for a week and you see who's going to get cut, and then you try and make signings accordingly. Look at the Ravens last year where they got Elvis Dumervil for less money than it would have gotten taken to re-sign Paul Kruger, and they got the better player out of that deal. So I think you'll see smarter teams kind of save their money a bit. Maybe you'll see a guy or two kind of, you know, hit the market late, and it seemed like the Ravens, just like with Steve Smith, will pick him up.
Yeah. A couple of guys I want to ask you about, a defensive lineman, and what's up with Jared Allen and the Vikings? Do you think he'd just retire if he didn't get the kind of deal he was looking for?
That's certainly the threat. I mean, you know, he made a lot of money in his last deal from the Vikings, and he played out the entire contract, so he got every last dollar of it. And, you know, it's really a personal thing. Maybe you're for your player, you say, listen, I don't want to go out and run through training camp for 2 months when I don't have to. I know what I'm doing already. And a guy like Jared Allen, maybe he wants to take a break. Maybe he wants to take a year off even and come back next year. Maybe he wants to come back in the middle of the season when there's, you know, there'll be teams desperate for a pass rusher who are willing to give him a big one-year contract. There are certainly options out there. I thought he made the most sense for Denver, but once Denver got DeMarcus Ware, that kind of limited Jared Allen's market. There's just not a lot of teams out there who have a ton of money left to give a player in his mid-30s a long-term deal.
Buffalo Bills fans always keep their eye on the Patriots, obviously, Bill, and I think a lot of us are wondering what the deal is with Vince Wilfork. Is he going to shake loose, be a free agent, do you think?
It's tough to say. The Patriots don't have to release Vince Wilfork. That's the thing. They really have the leverage in the situation. They can go out and say, listen, Vince, you know, if you're not going to take a pay cut, that's fine, but we're not going to give you a long-term contract, and you're going to be stuck here on a one-year deal. And I think that's probably what will happen. I think he's very valuable to them. He may not be the same guy after his Achilles injury, but certainly you want to have players like Vince Wilfork on your side. There's no one they can get in the free agent market who can replace Vince Wilfork. So I think they're going to kind of let it, you know, rumble over a bit and hopefully have him stay with that team.
Bill Barnwell's post is open bargain season, and do you consider Michael Vick maybe as the number one bargain still out on the free agent market, Bill?
Certainly up there. I mean, it's confusing to me to see teams go out and give two-year contracts for $10 million to the likes of Matt Cassel and Chad Henne. You know, those guys are competent. They're decent backup quarterbacks, but you're never going to have them really push you forward to making the playoffs if everything goes right. Whereas with Michael Vick, we know, you know, if he can stay healthy and he's in a system that plays to his strengths, he can be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. And I think you want to look for a guy like that who has higher upside, who has the possibility of taking your team to the next level, as opposed to Matt Cassel or Chad Henne, where you're not going to be terrible if you have those guys, but you're never going to be have those guys really pushing you forward towards even a wild card spot.
Last question, Bill. How much longer does this open bargain season continue? A couple of weeks? Do we go right up to training camp with good value now?
I mean, it depends. You know, I think it's certainly part of it is through the draft. I think at that point you have teams sort of finalizing their rosters and they're drafting accordingly, and so they want to give opportunities to the young guys they've just picked up. There will be options, and bargains certainly in August and September. The Panthers actually picked up a bunch of guys right at the beginning of the season last year who became key contributors to their playoff team last year. But certainly you're going to see teams trying to find those bargains right now, trying to find guys on one-year deals who end up being, you know, meaningful contributors to what hopefully will be a playoff team.
There's a limit to their patience, right?
There sure is, but I mean, it helps. Arizona got Carlos Dansby last year in April, or in May, I believe, and he ended up being a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker. So there's still going to be bargains out there. It's just a matter of, you know, when the value from the player side meets the value from the team side.
It's a great article, Bill. We thank you for coming on the air tonight with us to talk about it. We appreciate it.
Anytime, John. Always appreciate it.
Bill Barnwell writes for Grantland.com. It's part of ESPN.com, and he writes about pro football. His latest post up yesterday, open bargain season. He goes through some of the players who are bargains now out in the NFL free agent market. Take a break. Come back with more. The phone lines open when we return at 803-0550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live tonight from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're almost out of time here tonight. An abbreviated show because of hockey coming up at 8 o'clock. Our show is truncated tonight. It's a good crossword word. Mark Kelso would be proud of me. Truncated. Tomorrow night, full two-hour show. Hey, want to remind you, at BuffaloBills.com tomorrow morning, you can look at Chris Brown's feature, On the Clock. It's a pre-draft series. Starts tomorrow as Chris covers a number of football subjects pertaining to the draft and the impact they might have on the Bills as Doug Whaley prepares with his staff for the draft. The Rise of the Right Tackle is Chris's story tomorrow. It's at BuffaloBills.com. Our in-depth on-the-clock features. It starts tomorrow with the rise of the right tackle from Chris Brown at BuffaloBills.com. Also at BuffaloBills.com, Bills Bracketology, the social media showdown. It is underway. Four rounds, 16 Bills players, one winner. The Bills social media showdown, and you get to decide who wins. At BuffaloBills.com, Bills Bracketology matches 16 current and former players of the Bills, a social media showdown to crown the most engaging Twitter account. The players have been seeded by their number of followers. They're going head-to-head right now in the first round of Bills Bracketology, and you can vote up until Thursday. Stevie Johnson, a one seed against Kiko Alonso. Mario Williams against Marcel Darius. E.J. Manuel against Andre Reed. Thurman Thomas goes up against Marquise Goodwin. Fred Jackson goes up against Robert Woods. C.J. Spiller against T.J. Graham. Stephon Gilmore up against Aaron Williams, and Brandon Spikes up against Eric Wood. Bills Bracketology, check it out. You can't miss it. Go to BuffaloBills.com for the details on that. You get to decide who is the number one most engaging Twitter account among the Buffalo Bills, some current and former players, and they'll tally up how many mentions each player gets and announce the winners of each round as they'll go down to the champion, and the champion gets to take over the Buffalo Bills Twitter account. Whatever that means. Well, that'll do it for us tonight in a truncated version of the John Murphy Show. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. TJ Luckman, our engineer, our producer, Jay Harris, and the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Back for a full two-hour show tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.